Chapter 20. Two Invitations. James seemed unusually quiet as he opened the passenger door of his black Pontiac and helped Sandra get in. The brilliant sunset colours had disappeared and tiny stars glittered now in between dark masses of cloud. It still had not rained. Sandra was sad to be leaving. Other than a few tense moments, the Bryants' home had been such a warm, colourful, happy place, filled with family and love. "You're so lucky, James," she thought, glancing over quickly. "Now I know how much they all care about you." She smiled, remembering the special bowl of chowder and two excited nephews. "And I know you love them too. You may be in the middle of a family disagreement, but at least you're supporting each other. I wish I had a family like yours." The Pontiac wasn't nearly as flashy as Brett's red convertible Mustang, and it was older, but both were far superior to Sandra's white Ford. She watched as James slid in and turned the key in the ignition. His strong, lean hands guided the car smoothly as they drove down the long, winding lane. Once they were on the highway, Sandra curiously picked up the envelope Jessica had given her. "May I turn on the reading light for a sec?" she asked. James reached up and turned it on for her. She thanked him. With a little overhead light shining down, Sandra noticed the silver seal on the back of the envelope. She realized Jessica had given her a wedding invitation. "Oh, my goodness!" she exclaimed in delight. "I've been invited to the wedding. I've never been to a wedding before in my life." James didn't say a word. He kept on driving. Sandra pulled out the invitation and looked closely at the date on the pale purple card, July 5th. And then it suddenly occurred to her that it was the very weekend she had been invited to Laurie's cottage. "No," she moaned in dismay. "Oh, no, I'm supposed to go to Laurie's cottage that weekend." She paused to consider the options. "Oh, I can't miss visiting Laurie," she remarked regretfully. "Not for anything. We've had to cancel so many times, and I've waited years and years." She sighed heavily. "He's promised to take me sailing on his yacht." "Sounds like fun," James smiled. "How ironic that we both have conflicts that weekend." For quite some time, they rode silently along the country roads. After a few more deep sighs, Sandra regretfully dismissed the wedding option. There was nothing more important than time with her brother. As the minutes ticked by, she began to wonder why James seemed so quiet. She tried to think of something to jumpstart the conversation. She thought about Jessica's answer to James' points about the thief on the cross. "But James doesn't want to have any more religious discussions with me," she told herself. Searching for something to say, compassion welled up in her heart when she thought back on all that had happened that evening. They were just entering the outskirts of Stirling when she decided to speak up. "I felt for you tonight," she said gently. "I know you wanted to help, Peter. I thought it was very nice of you to try." "Thanks," James said flatly with a shrug. "But he won't listen to me." "I'm sure he appreciated your concern. I know I would have." James didn't reply, but his hands clenched the steering wheel tightly. "You have such a beautiful family," Sandra said earnestly. "I guess any family is going to have some disagreements. Even though there was tension, I could feel the love you all have for each other. Your nephews think you're the greatest." A smile crept over James's face. "They're good kids," he said. "We've had some fun times together." He paused with a sigh. "Peter and I used to be good friends too," he confided. "We used to see eye to eye on most things. But ever since he came back from Australia, it's like he's from another planet. I just don't understand him, and he just doesn't understand me." "So even James says they used to be good friends," Sandra surmised. "He does care. He's just bewildered and confused, and he doesn't understand what now motivates all the others." "Do you want to understand him?" she asked gently. James didn't reply or even glance in her direction. Finally, just before they reached the manor, he asked, "Is your brother's full name Lawrence Carrington?" "Yes," she said, looking up with interest. "Does he work for the Stirling Royal Bank?" She nodded. "He's high up in management." "I think I met him last week," James said quietly. "He and I are negotiating a business contract."
"Seriously? You met my brother?"
Sandra replied in astonishment.
"What's he like? What does he look like? Is he nice?"
Having parked the car in the outdoor parking lot, James opened the door to get out. Sandra followed suit. "He's an interesting man," James replied noncommittally, waiting for Sandra to catch up to him. "From what I've heard, he's your typical workaholic and well known as a shrewd businessman."
"What does he look like?"
"Well, he's quite grey and a little overweight. He has the same eyes as you." Mumbling, James added, "They're quite striking eyes." Sandra missed the indirect compliment. She was mentally attempting to update the outdated vision of her brother. The attempt failed. Was Laurie really fat and grey? Is he nice?
I don't know him well enough to say yet, James answered as they walked through the courtyard. But I have to meet with him again next Wednesday for lunch, and I thought...
He paused for a moment before finishing. Well, I was wondering if you might like to come along. Sandra froze in mid-step, completely astonished.
Sorry, James said, reaching out to steady her. Are you okay?
I'd love to see him, Sandra mused hesitantly, her mind racing. But won't I be out of place at a business luncheon?
I don't see why you would, James told her. Sometimes other guys bring their secretaries along. It might be a good opportunity for you to see him again, just in case your July plans don't work out.
Can I think about it? Sandra begged.
Of course you can, James replied with a shrug. Just leave me a note on Tuesday.